Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my effervescent wife and best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom, Todah to all our listeners, as we pray you will be blessed by tonight's continuing study on the prophet Micah. Let us pray.
Abba, Father, in whom you alone we trust and glorify. Thank you for the water of your word that not only washes us clean, but provides our protection needed in our battles with the enemy as well as our own flesh. We use our authority over any demonic forces that try to derail our attention away from studying your word. We continue to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones and for those lukewarm Christians to encounter a deep spiritual awakening. We also pray for those in need of a miraculous healing, and for the thousands of missing children to be found and rescued from the throes of evil. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, last Thursday was a very special day for Israel.
It was. It's the 5th of Iyar on the Hebrew calendar, the anniversary of their legal announcement of their independence in May of 1948. Now, on our Gregorian calendar, it is the 14th of May.
Either calendar makes them 77 years old.
Which is double sevens, and as we have taught before, the generation that sees Israel bloom again, which was in 1948, will recognize the signs. And Matthew 24 says we will know. And the word know is number 1097, genosko. And it means to be sure, to understand. It is at the door. So the Lord really knows what his remnant is, really does want his remnant to know. Not the exact hour, but just how soon it really is.
So, from 1948, within 80 years.
Yeah, an average lifespan according to Psalm 90, verse 10.
And 7 is the number for completion.
Therefore, as we said, 7-7 could be yet another clue to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh.
Even at the door.
Amen.
Meanwhile, Israel keeps pounding on Gaza.
Yes, and expanding its ground troops. The majority of Israelis are seeing victory on the horizon and want Israel to keep going and not give in to any ceasefire talks, which would allow Hamas to remain in a false peace.
And Israel is still taking out infrastructure in southern Lebanon.
And also, near the presidential palace, they did a bomb, and that was in Damascus, as a warning sign to HTS to leave the minority religions alone, especially the Druze, who I wrote about in our last newsletter. However, HTS says it's not them, but rather a different Islamic Jihad group.
Remember, the Quran says it's okay to lie when it benefits them.
And HTS spouts more lies, as he recently said he is disenfranchising himself from their main backer, Turkey, and wants peace with Israel.
Even desires to join the Abraham Accords.
Sure. Mm-hmm. He's saying that, thinking Israel might stop bombing their acquired weaponry left over from Assad's regime.
And the U.S. keeps attacking the Houthi bases in Yemen.
Yemen, yes, mm-hmm. As they should, because the Houthis are still shooting missiles. The latest one was to Israel on Sunday as their defense systems failed to intercept, therefore striking just outside of Ben-Gurion Airport, injuring 6 people.
But thankfully, no casualties.
So yesterday, Israel, with knowledge of the United States, began retaliation by hitting various targets and a seaport on Yemen's coast. And again today, they hit Yemen's capital city, Sana'a, I believe that's how you pronounce it, and downed several power plants and other infrastructure and struck its main airport, all after warning the people to evacuate. And now, you know, only Israel would do that. Warning. All right, but now most airlines are refusing to enter Israel in fear of more Houthi missiles, who has promised an air siege of Israel and strongly warned all airlines not to enter Israel's airspace.
Iran could stop the Houthis, but are not.
No. Even though Iran's oil port exploded last month and a few other explosions since then, they say it's all due to negligence on Iran's part. But as well, Iran's main bank was hacked into, retrieving much data from at least 20 VIPs, and the hackers are demanding about $500,000 in untraceable Bitcoin, if the bank desires to return to normal.
And yes, they will likely pay it.
Mm-hmm. And Matthew 24's wars and rumors of wars continue, as in Ukraine and the Middle East. By the way, Trump is visiting there next week. And now a rebel group called the Resistance Front in Pakistan attacked and killed 26 on India's border. So India is conducting rival drills with Pakistan.
Yeah, both showing off their military skill.
And by the way, the Greek word for wars is 4171. It's mur, meaning to change something, and the lexicon makes it more clear, as it can be any single small battle or just a strife. And there's a lot of that happening.
Yeah, look at the many violent protests.
Right. That would fit Matthew 24. Oh, and by the way, Vice President Vance just happened to be in India on the day of the attack and told India to show restraint, even though 26 were killed. India knows that we have been sending military aid to Pakistan to fight their terrorists, but as often happens, does not go where it's supposed to go. Many suspect the government of Pakistan willfully tolerates the terrorists.
So India is not happy with us.
And probably the reason we haven't seen a trade deal with them yet. Oh, and both India and Pakistan have closed off their airspaces, so airplanes must go around those countries when flying,
making it much more expensive for passengers.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But some good news. Canada met with Trump today, and finally China is ready to talk seriously about all those high tariffs. Amen.
Okay, you can read our many newsletters or listen to any previous programs on our webpage, as well as sign up to receive them on shofarministries.net, where you can also send us your questions or comments by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And if you prefer a paper copy, let us know. To Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Always know we truly appreciate any love offering, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
Okay. Well, Micah was a prophet of faith, even when up against the government.
Yeah, last week we looked at the first four chapters,
which is archived on our webpage.
Let's do a quick summary of last week's teaching.
Okay. Micah was an 8th century prophet B.C. who actually saw repentance after he warned Judah about their behavior. Thereby, they received God's forgiveness.
Yeah, well, for about 100 years.
Yeah, until they too fell into harlotry, like the northern tribes had previously done, who were taken to Assyria, with many dispersing among the nations. So when Judah did it too, God sent the Babylonians to invade them, taking most into captivity for 70 years.
Yeah, the term, the 10 lost tribes, came from the northern dispersion.
Yes, but now in the end times, all 12 tribes are accounted for, most existing in Israel, making Revelation 7 very believable where it says there will be 12,000 from each tribe to preach in Israel after we leave.
They will be called the new first fruits.
Yes. And last week we also talked about the false prophets in Micah's day.
Yes, who kept saying everything will be fine.
And we compared that to today's many false prophecies, saying the same thing, because false prophets are always more popular than the real prophets declaring a warning judgment.
Ear ticklers, you might say.
Yeah. We also reminded the listeners, whenever it reads, in that day, it means the seventh and last 1,000 years of man's time.
That begins at the rapture.
And finishes at the end of Christ's messianic kingdom.
When eternity begins.
Yes. Micah preached during the reign of three kings, the mighty warrior Jotham, the very wicked Ahaz, who was probably a cannibalist as well. But the next son was the good king Hezekiah. Micah also preached about the iniquity of covetousness and the seizing of properties committed by the government. Micah also pronounces a future judgment of all ruthless leaders in that day and prophesied about the destruction of Jerusalem from Babylon and another destruction that was fulfilled centuries later after Micah in 70 A.D., soon after Jesus departed.
Who had also prophesied about Jerusalem's coming destruction in Matthew 24.
Yes, he did. But we finished last week in chapter 4, where Micah began that chapter by prophesying about the Messianic kingdom and how Jerusalem will be restored high upon the mountain with a new king and judge. But before that, tribulation. And we know that by the use of another idiom of this phrase, pangs or labor of a woman. The woman being Israel, who will give new birth to the born-again experience.
And that should happen in the first half, right?
That's right. At the Battle of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38:23 and 39:22.
Yeah, we also explain the phrase, under his vine and fig tree.
Yes, which symbolizes the millennial kingdom. Then we finish in chapter 4 with Micah speaking to the present day, encouraging them that they would be victorious against their current neighboring enemies.
And that brings us to the last three chapters.
That contains some wonderful prophecies. Chapter 5 begins with Micah prophesying the first coming of Christ to where they will strike him. And that was later fulfilled in Matthew 26 and 27 by the Romans.
But approved by the leaders of the Jews.
Yeah. And who saw that prophecy fulfilled right before their eyes, and they still missed it.
Yeah,
why?
Well, because they only studied the Torah.
Yeah. In fact, all Jewish boys had to memorize it by their bar mitzvah.
Man's rules, not God's.
Jesus would have had many more followers if they just paid more attention to the real prophets that we now read in the whole Old Testament.
Further proof that especially today we need to study the whole counsel of God.
Sadly, we see it's happening again. Only a remnant are expecting that trumpet to sound. The Bible says, study it line upon line, precept upon precept.
Isaiah 26:28-10.
Instead, many just listen to false teachings from teachers who you think have it all together.
Therefore not confirming to themselves what they hear.
Yeah, as Paul said, be a Berean, Acts 17:11.
So they only concentrated on the first five books of Moses.
Even though, through typology, Yeshua is pictured on every page.
Right.
In fact, the Hebrews not only ignored much of the prophecies, the prophet Isaiah's whole chapter 53 was and still is not included in any of their Saturday Sabbath readings. I am told the Jews today that do study it are getting saved.
Yes, mostly on Bible prophecy.
That's right. As we just said, ignoring teaching on the prophets of the Bible is happening today in our Christian churches. Few pastors are teaching contextually from the prophet books. Oh, maybe a verse here and there, so to say they read from it.
But it's the context that's important.
Yeah, to avoid misinterpretations. But obviously, Christians aren't complaining to their pastors to teach eschatology. In fact, I know of one pastor that says that he would not preach on prophecy because it was too divisive. Sadly, too many, but thankfully not all, avoid doing the extended hours of study needed to teach it correctly.
And many are just too busy.
Yeah, but should prioritize and actually appoint more deacons to take care of the needs of the parishioners. Then Revelation 3, you know, says the lazy Laodiceans would much rather listen to others' opinions over spending the time doing their own homework.
Which we always encourage.
Well, yeah, it's much more rewarding. Our mandate is to stir up your desire to study, as Peter 1 says. Anyhow, back to Micah, who continues with the magnificent prophecy of where Jesus would actually be born. How could anyone ever know that hundreds of years before, if not from the Holy Spirit?
Another authentication of God's word.
Yeah, one of many. Micah said that although Bethlehem is a small town, a great ruler will come forth one day whose goings forth are from everlasting.
You know, that's a great verse for Bible skeptics.
For sure. So remember Micah 5:2 and show the skeptics this prophecy that was written over 500 years before Christ was ever born. Now we learn from verse 3 that since the Jews rejected him, he's setting them aside just for a time for the Gentiles, the church age.
And after the church leaves, the tribulation begins.
Yes, then the Jews come back into the end time focus of 7 years to finish Daniel 9's prophecy, also called the birth pangs.
Meaning Israel is in labor.
Yes, who will repent and be reborn as a whole nation after eyewitnessing how God intervenes for them in the battle.
The God, called God.
That's the evil prince.
Of Magog.
And that's the landmass in the northern areas. Then at the end of the seven-year tribulation, Yeshua returns in the clouds on a white horse with us following him, now called his wife, Revelation 19:7.
Right after our seven-year honeymoon in heaven.
Amen. Then in verse 5, Micah pronounces judgment on Assyria, as well as describes the future Antichrist, by using one of his many titles, the Assyrian. And the people in Micah's day were very familiar with this wicked ruler possessed by Satan. But here, Micah was also forthtelling of yet another future ruthless leader, like the wicked Assyrian king Sargon of that Assyrian dynasty. So, when we see the scripture calling the Antichrist the Assyrian, doesn't mean he'll be a Muslim from Syria or even from that area.
In fact, many Assyrians today are Christians.
That's true. The Assyrian is merely a typological title for another coming wicked ruler.
And the Antichrist has many others titles too.
Yeah. As in the king of Babylon, the wicked prince of Israel, the seed of the serpent, actually over 30 titles. But Revelation 13 makes it clear he will have all the attributes of all the empires represented by the seven horns, which was first Egypt, then Assyria, Babylon, Medes and Persians, Greece, and Rome.
Who will be revived.
Yes, as we see in the mixed iron and the clay feet in Nebuchadnezzar's statue, which we covered in our last lesson in the book of Daniel.
Okay, verse 7, Micah talks about the remnant of Jacob.
Yes, these are those 144,000 Hebrews, the new first fruits to replace us who will preach to the new unbelievers. Jews first, along with the two witnesses, in the first half of Jacob's trouble, and then to the remaining Gentiles during the last half of the tribulation. As we said, according to Revelation 12 and Matthew 24, The Jews receive Christ during the first 3.5 years and will escape the Antichrist, fleeing down south, where they are miraculously protected in the same area that God protected them before in the desert of the Sinai in Saudi Arabia.
So, not Egypt as once thought, but as Galatians 4:25 says.
Yes, and we see again in verse 10 and 11 of chapter 5 that familiar phrase, in that day. And through verse 15, Micah prophesies that all their adversaries by the end of the tribulation will be cut off.
That's good news.
Then in chapter 6, Micah is back to real time as God, through Micah, gives them a long scolding and says, "Speak to me, this mountain, and plead your case." In a side note, we often see governments referred to as mountains in Scripture that are really hard to move, except for God. And, of course, one's faith that only needs to be the size of a mustard seed. Anyhow, in verse 3, God continues to ask, "What have I done to you?" And then he lists all the good things he has done for Israel. And yes, they do their sacrifices, but what he really wants for them is to do what verse 8 says.
Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly.
He then continues to heavily berate the wicked ones for their false gods, their wicked trade deals, and dishonesty, and their lying tongues, and finishes chapter 6 describing their intense punishment going all the way through to the tribulation.
Which chapter 7 describes.
Yes, for there are key words that help us discern this very particular end time coming days, and begins by describing the fall harvest. Now we do know that the tribulation begins in the fall at the time of the fall feasts.
His first coming was in the spring when he gave his life during Passover.
And many scriptures point that he will return in the fall, first secretly in the clouds to call up his bride, then 7 years later, also in the fall, will return and set up his kingdom, which begins on the Feast of Tabernacles, also his earthly birthday. So verse 1 states it will be at the time of gleaning the vintage grapes.
That's obviously describing the fall harvest.
And verse 2 in chapter 7 is my favorite Old Testament rapture verse.
The faithful man has perished from the earth.
The Hebrew word for perish is bad, really meaning to escape. And this escaping is later confirmed by Jesus himself in Luke 21. So let's read that again. Verse 2.
The faithful has escaped from the earth, and there is no one upright among men.
And that makes total sense, because at the moment of the rapture, there will be no one left at that moment of time that will be righteous, because we will have all left. Jesus did say in Luke 21:36, pray, meaning the salvation prayer, that you will escape what's coming. Yes, we are escapists. And Micah finishes this verse with every evil man hunting down his brother with a net. Verses 5 and 6, he even tells them to trust no one, not even family. Rather, look to God for their salvation. Micah then prophesies of Israel's repentance, currently, then, and again during the tribulation, as we see more end time phrases like the indignation, and three more times he uses the phrase in that day. And he closes with forgiving words of comfort and shepherding as in days of old, and shows great wonders where the nations will see their demise like the serpent. But God will pardon all their iniquities, for he cannot retain his anger forever, as he delights in mercy, as was promised to Abraham's descendants from days long ago. Now you can read Micah with more understanding and be blessed. And I want to say that the Lord will bless you and keep you. He will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.